Hey, everyone, here at 514 Church and watching online, this is week three of Loser. If you missed the first 2 weeks, you got to go back and watch. Today, what I'm going to share with you is something that I believe will change your life if you can stick with this and hear this, and you need these other pieces. Last couple weeks, I've talked about what it means to be the kind of loser that God wants you to be. And the first piece that I talked about in week one is that you will lose. And everyone, the greatest in the world, the best athletes, the best businessmen, everyone loses at certain times, but not everybody gets up. But everybody falls down, and certain type of people, the kind of person that God wants us to be is the kind of person who has an understanding of who they are outside of what they do, and so they get up. But the first piece is... You will lose. And so you have to kind of come to terms with that and not put too much weight in that. What you need to put your weight in is what I talked about last week, which is this: God's love for you is based on who you are, not what you do. And many of us go through life believing that we have to exhibit a certain type of behavior in order to achieve God's love. Maybe we are riddled with this perfectionistic life where we think that we have to be perfect, and so when that happens, then we kind of live in a life filled with shame and guilt, and we don't believe that we are who we really are, and it's difficult to get back up. And today, what I'm going to share with you is something that I believe, if you can kind of position your mind and heart with what I'm going to share with you today, then I believe it will change your life from this day forward. And that's a big statement, and I wouldn't ask you to come to church and listen and engage in what we're doing if I didn't think that was true. This right here is at least 55-pound brick. It's a piece of stone that is part of a 45 to 55-foot long retention wall that sits across the back of our house that at least half of it, it's 6 feet high. And so there's this wall that the development had to build when we bought our house, because our house sits up on a creek. And so it right in our backyard is this creek, and they had to kind of retain the ground. And so they came in and they told me, hey, we got to build this retaining wall. And they spray painted on the ground how big it was going to be, and it was like 12 feet. And so I came back a week later, and this thing had gotten to 40-some feet. And they just, as they got into it, the wall had to get bigger and bigger and taller, and thank goodness I wasn't paying for it, but it became this giant wall, and it's beautiful, and it's well done, and I mean, this thing has glue on the back of it, and each one of these sets in place, and it kind of holds up the whole left side of our house. And then when the inspector came in, he said, this wall needs to be shortened. And it was a huge process. So the guys that did the wall originally had to come back in and take the glue off and remove these pieces and take like 10 feet off of the wall because it was too close to the street and it broke some code. And so it was a huge process, because when a wall like this gets put in place, it's put there to be permanent. It's not supposed to be moved soon after it gets put there. And a lot of us, we go through life and we have in our lives these kind of pieces of information that determine what we believe, think, and feel about ourselves. And throughout your life, you have been built up by pieces of information. You have signals, you have messages that have come your way that have been placed in your life. And some of those signals are incorrect. Some of those pieces are wrong, but they're so heavy, they're so difficult to move, that like for you to actually move them and change what you think about yourself is a major undertaking, And some of us have been told things about ourselves that have affected the way we live our lives, the way we think, the way we behave. And the reality is that the things that you have been told are lies. They're not true. And so the things about you that aren't true, that you learn from your parents, that you might learn from an experience, that you might learn from a friend or a relationship or maybe your health or whatever it is, or maybe at church, you went to church and heard something and that became this brick in your life that has formed the way you think and the way you believe and ultimately the way you behave. And for some of us today, we need to change these lies. We need to change these pieces that exist that are very difficult to move and that form who we are, how we live, how we feel, and what we believe. The reality is that the things that you've been told about yourself, whether directly or indirectly, whether it was based on the way you were treated, something that happened to you, or something that was said to you, anything about you that you've learned that's not true actually has its origination in what the Bible calls the devil. Now, not everybody believes in the devil, but the lies that have formed the way you think and feel about yourself and ultimately the way you behave, they don't come from God. Now, some of us don't believe in the devil, right? I mean, a lot of us in here don't necessarily know if we believe in God. And you might think of the devil as you got the angel on one shoulder and then the devil on the other, and they're fighting, and one's telling you to not steal the candy, and the other one's like, but it'll taste so good. I don't know. Like, we might view it that way. But just for a second, Jesus, who we believe came to this earth, lived on this earth, we celebrated his birth at Christmas this year, and we believe he's a real historical figure. We believe he is who he says he was. He talks about the devil, and he talks about the devil as if he's very real and that he is a father of lies. And so a lot of us have been told information, things about ourselves that are not true. They don't come from God, but they have been built up in our lives like a wall that is so strong that it is affecting us at such a core level. And in order for those things to be changed, big earth-moving things have to happen. And the reality is that if you believe the lies that have been told you, then you're a certain type of loser, and I've talked about this. If you believe you are a loser, you will lose, and when you lose, you will stay down. If you believe you're invaluable, if you believe that you don't have worth, if you believe that you're not important, if you believe that God doesn't love you, then if you've learned that through certain things throughout your life, then when you fall, you'll stay down because you'll essentially believe that what's happened to you is really a result of who you are. And if you believe in your heart that you are a winner, that you have value, that God loves you, that you matter, then you have this transformational reality where when you fall, you'll be able to stand back up. And you'll go, my failing, my falling doesn't represent me. It just represents something that happened to me. It's really not who I am. I'm something else. And so what I want to take you guys through is just an exercise about what are the pieces of information that have affected your beliefs about yourself. Do you believe that you are a winner? Do you believe that you matter to God? Let me ask it this way. What has shaped your strongest beliefs about you? Where did the bricks that shape what you think about yourself, where did they come from? Who said them? How did they get communicated? Why do you believe what you believe about yourself? I mean, so a lot of you, like, you're going, well, I didn't know I was coming to counseling today. Oh, yeah. Today is going to be a journey within for you. And I want to just start with something that maybe you don't know where it came from, and maybe you might be struggling to kind of identify the beliefs that are lies. So I want to start with kind of the fruit of those lies and what happens when you believe lies about yourself. I want to take you from that point. Because a lot of you are experiencing the result of bad information. And what I want to do is I want to get to the root of it for all of us. You see, your beliefs about you can be found in your attitudes and your behaviors. Okay, so the way that you behave is a direct representation of what you believe in your core, in your foundation. Your attitude, your outlook on life, is a direct connection to what you believe about yourself. Now, I mentioned counseling. I'm going to share some things with you guys today that it can be kind of tough, but I have spent throughout my life years going to counseling. When I was 13 years old, my family went to family counseling. And then I did some counseling in college with a professor, and I have, when Katie and I first got married, we did some marriage counseling, and I have gone to individual counseling. I've seen biblical counselors, and I've also seen completely secular counselors. I see a guy here in town who wrote the book Sports Psychology for Dummies. He helps me a lot. Helps me a lot, because I have a performance-based mentality, and he's helped me unpack some of that. Now, what I'm going to put up in front of you are some things that I've learned through that process. And so I just want you to go with me, just kind of go on this journey, because what you believe about yourself, what's been put inside of you, and what shapes your core belief about you is going to be seen in the way you behave and in the way you have your attitudes and your outlook on life. So for example, a lot of us might think some people are rose-colored glasses, some people see the glass half empty, some people see the glass half full. The reality is that a lot of times our outview and outlook on life is shaped by the pieces of information that we're given that affect us at such a core level, we don't really understand why we see the world that way or why we're behaving that way or why our attitude is that way. But if we look at certain behaviors, then we can identify those behaviors tied to bad information. So I just want to start with kind of the bricks in our life, the walls in our life that represent bad information. So this is going to be kind of blown up on the screen, and I just want to go through this from the top to the bottom so you can kind of think through what has shaped you based upon how you're behaving or how you're thinking and feeling about the world. A lot of us, I'm going to start, you know, top all the way to left to right to the bottom. Maybe you're judgmental. If you're judgmental, like if you are the kind of person that just is constantly focusing the blame on someone else and you're constantly looking for something to say negative about someone else, that's something that comes from a core belief, and we'll talk about that. Maybe your attitude and your behavior is self-centered. Maybe you haven't recognized that, but maybe people have told you and maybe relationships are suffering because you're self-centered and people say you're self-centered. There's a reason for that. There's a reason that your attitude is that way. There's a reason that you behave that way. Maybe, I talked about this last week, maybe you're a perfectionist. You know, and maybe for a while you've been able to kind of baptize your perfectionism and being a type A personality. But the reality is that when you see the world through, I have to be perfect. That's a belief, that's a behavior, that's an attitude that you have that has been given to you from certain things. Well, look at that. Maybe you're others-directed in the sense that you believe you exist just for others. Like, you don't take care of yourself. So your behaviors are to not take care of yourself and to only exist for others. You become like a caretaker. A lot of people have gotten wrong signals and beliefs about themselves, and they end up in nursing. And I'm not saying that that's a bad thing, but they might be a nurse because they believe they exist not to take care of themselves, but that their value comes from them having to take care of other people all the time. And it's one thing to take care of other people, and that's a great attitude that you can have in a sense, but if what's behind it is a lie, it's horrible. Maybe you live in fear. I mean, maybe some of us just are living every day. Our attitude is just fearful. We're anxious, and we're just going through life. Like every time we look at the news, every time we see what's going on, we just literally get you know, paralysis because we're afraid. That behavior comes from somewhere. This depressed. I mean, we're not talking about being clinically depressed. We're talking about people who just because of some reason, their whole life they've been told something. Now they have this kind of cloud, this kind of depression, this kind of journey through life where everything is suppressed. You just want to go to bed early and stay in bed late, and life is bad and woe is me. That behavior, it comes from somewhere. Maybe you don't trust anyone. Maybe you feel like you have to control everything. Maybe you feel like you exist to just bring peace to the world. You have turmoil in you, but you exist to bring peace to the world. Maybe you feel an over sense of responsibility. These right here, these bricks are behaviors and attitudes that come from the father of lies. Let me just back up kind of the process. You see, what happens is these behaviors and these attitudes, they actually come from a feeling that you've gained about yourself. You get to a point based upon what you've learned in your life that you feel shame, you feel guilt, you feel inferior. You live with this feeling of inadequacy and low self-worth or low self-esteem, and ultimately you feel insecure, which means when life gets rocky, you feel that a rocky life or something going bad actually is a commentary on your value. That is insecurity. When something goes wrong, something's wrong with me. I'm insecure. Think of like something being secure on the top of a forerunner or a four-wheeler going through the woods. If it's tied tightly, securely to the rack on the front, when it goes over the bumps, it stays secure. When you go over the bumps and it's not secure, then it rattles all over the place. We often live with these types of insecurities, this type of feeling of insecurity, and it lives out in this. And then you see it. Anybody know someone like this or you like this? Man, that person is so self-centered. That person is so judgmental. And ultimately, what has to happen in here today is, do you connect with any of these behaviors and attitudes? And ultimately, I'm telling you, and people a lot smarter than me are saying that this all comes from a feeling about yourself. Insecure. Not important. So I behave this way. Judgmental. It's all about everyone else's problems, not me. And here's the reality, is that these behaviors and attitudes, which are so difficult to change and move in our lives, they come from a source, like I said, the father of lies. They come from life's signals, the messages that you and I have received that are teaching us the wrong thing about ourselves. So just look at these different signals. I mean, maybe you grow up, or maybe students, you're growing up in a place where there's secrets. This is between you and me, and in that there becomes this lack of trust and this brokenness and this hidden pain. When you are getting these signals, they make you feel a level of self-doubt, and they ultimately result in the behaviors at the bottom. Maybe you grew up and are growing up in a place where you're not allowed to talk, no talking, no expression of your feelings. Everything is snuffed out. Everything is fine. Just be fine. Don't talk. We're fine. If you are living in a place where you're not allowed to express emotion, or you grew up in a place where you're not allowed to express emotion, or you're in a relationship where you're not allowed to express emotion, then emotions are bad, and then therefore what you feel is shame and guilt. And then that leads to over-responsibility. It leads to being depressed. It leads to fear. Maybe it was don't feel, not allowed to have any emotion, don't feel, don't, everyone's happy, we're not going to feel, we're not going to cry, no crying. So some of us grew up no talking, and some of us grew up no crying. And some of us grew up both. And some of us are growing up that way right now. And what that does is those are lies about how to live life. They're coming from the significant people in your lives, the significant places in your life. They're teaching you, and they're resulting in behaviors that, when you look at them, you go, something's wrong. And now you know, this is what's wrong. Someone grew up in a home where it was all about rules. And people a lot smarter than me have said rules before relationship equal rebellion. So this is rebellion. This is self-centered, judgmental, caretaker, fear, perfectionism, rebellion. And it's all because you just need to follow the rules. And that makes me feel shame and guilt and insecure and abandoned. You know, I want everyone to like identify with some of the signals that you've been shown in your life, because they are affecting how you feel and they're affecting you, and you are ultimately resulting in a losing behavior because you have a losing feeling and a losing belief about yourself. I've been to counseling many times. I'm not ashamed of that. I've talked about, as the pastor of this church, I have talked about how in order for you to be successful in life, the scriptures say you need many counselors. Plans fail for lack of counsel. With many counselors, plans succeed. You plan, you say you want to have a great life. You say you want to have great relationships. You say you want to have, you know, great financial success or whatever it is. But in order for that to happen, you have to humble yourself and bring a lot of people into your life. And that's what counseling is. And a lot of people are afraid to admit counseling. And this isn't part of the message. It's just counseling. Listen, people view counseling often as roadside assistance, like your car broke down and they're afraid to admit that the axle for the wheel fell off their car. Oh, I got to go to counseling now that the engine broke down, that the transmission blew up. Counseling is not that. That's the ER. When things get real bad, you go see the doctor and you go get help and you go beyond counseling. What counseling is, can you guys help me? Something just happened. This is way in front of where, oh, okay. What counseling is counseling is filling up with gasoline. I've taught you're supposed to have counseling in your life at every level of your life. You need people that are the same age, the different stage, and a wise sage. It's a whole other message. We all need counseling in our life. We need people. So I've gone and sat with counselors, and let me share with you one of the things that happened, an epiphany that happened when I was in counseling. When I was 9, my parents got divorced. And 6 brothers and 2 sisters, and I've worked through this, and this is not a result of bitterness. I just want to show you what happened in counseling. I was in counseling, and I told the story to this counselor, and he looked at me like, what? What happened? I said, yeah, when I was 9, my parents got divorced, and my mom, she was so hurt by the circumstances that she took my younger sister and my younger brother and moved to Colorado. We lived here in Worthington. He goes, your mom moved to Colorado when you were 9? I said, yeah. He said, Joel. And I looked at him like, dude, it's not that bad. And he was like, Joel, that is traumatic. I was like, ah. He's like, I want you to do something. I want you, he said to me, go to church today and just find a 9-year-old and think about him and look at him as if, what would happen to that 9-year-old if their mom left that day and they didn't see him anymore? And I was like, oh my gosh, I would feel awful. And I was like, oh wow, I see what you did there. You just jiu-jitsu'd my mind. I'm telling you, it struck me that part of what I was feeling, and I went to counseling because of what I was feeling. Some exasperation about worth and value. And you could ask my wife and friends that these pieces were happening if you looked closely in certain ways. And it was all in my heart. It was all in my feeling about myself. And it came from a traumatic experience that sent me a message that's a lie. We all have these. Some people are in here today and you are being verbally abused. You have been physically abused. You've been sexually abused. And that is talking to you every single day, and it is speaking to you a lie. And you will easily, and that's the thing about counseling, you go to counseling when you know something bad has happened. And you go, yeah, I've had this happen. But we don't understand the weight of it. You don't understand that situation that you're going through or that you went through or that you put someone through, that has caused a belief in at a heart level, a feeling and experience for someone's life that has dictated essentially so many things about the way people live and their behaviors. We're all in this together. I'm not trying to make anyone feel bad if they got a divorce. I'm not saying that you're any worse or better or whatever it is, but what happens is, you know, my parents went through what they went through, but I went through what I went through being in that place. And that's real for me. That's hard for me. And that sent me a message, and you're getting a message. And it's affecting the way you feel, and it's affecting the way you behave. One of my favorite movies of all time is a movie, Good Will Hunting. If you've never seen this movie, you need to see this movie. There's tons of cursing. It's a very rich, culturally relevant movie. And you need to see this movie because it talks about a boy who is so gifted. He's a mathematician. He's a prodigy. But because he grew up in foster care and he was abused, his behavior was so different from what his obvious value was. And so he goes to see this counselor who works through the truth with him. And there's a scene I'm going to show you. This scene has a lot of words in it that are bad. We muted them. But I want you to listen to this scene. I just want to take you to this place of understanding life's messages and what they should mean to you and to me.
What is that?
This is your file. I have to send it back to the judge for evaluation.
Oh. Hey, you're not going to fail me, are you? What's it say? Why? Have you had any experience with that?
20 years of counseling. Yeah, I've seen some pretty awful.
I mean, have you had any experience with that?
Personally?
Yeah.
Yeah, I have.
Sure ain't good.
My father was an alcoholic, mean and drunk. He'd come home hammered, looking to wail on somebody. So I'd provoke him so he wouldn't go after my mother and little brother. Interesting nights were when he wore his rings.
He used to just put a wrench, a stick, and a belt on the table and just say, choose.
Well, I gotta go with the belt there, Vanna.
I used to go with the wrench.
Why the wrench?
Because that's why.
Your foster father.
Yeah. So, you know, what is it, like, Will has an attachment disorder? Is it all that stuff? Fear of abandonment? Is that why I broke up with Skylar?
I didn't know you had.
Yeah, I did.
You want to talk about it?
No.
Hey, Will, I don't know a lot. You see this? This is not your fault.
Yeah, I know that.
Look at me, son. It's not your fault.
I know.
It's not your fault.
I know.
No, no, you don't. It's not your fault.
I know.
It's not your fault.
All right.
It's not your fault. It's not your fault. It's not your fault.
Don't f*** with me, all right? Don't f*** with me, Sean, not you.
It's not your fault.
Oh my God! Oh my God! I'm so sorry.
every person deserves to be in this place where they get told that the lies and the pain that have been told them, that the experiences that they've had, that those are not your fault. That your pain and the signals, the lies that you've been told, those are lies from an enemy. Those are lies from a being who is delusional and arrogant in his own being, and he exists to destroy you. And you grew up in a broken world, and things happen to you, and your behavior at a certain point when you become an adult, that becomes your responsibility. And when you start to see the kind of behaviors that we talked about that come from those lies, then you have to go back to the beginning and go, why? Why am I acting this way? Why am I feeling this way? What has happened to me? And you have to understand that your false belief was because someone was putting that in your mind. And today needs to be a day where you go, it wasn't my fault that I was told those things and that affected me, but it will be my fault if I don't learn the truth, dismantle that wall, and start to believe that God loves me for who I am. That's why you're here. It's not your fault. You were told a bunch of lies. So you feel a certain way and you're acting a certain way. It's time to go, okay, those behaviors are not okay. They come from this place and I have got to work on this. And what's supposed to happen is we're supposed to have new information. We're supposed to have new signals, and we're not supposed to get all of our signals ever from our father or our mother or our circumstances or a pastor or whatever. We're supposed to get our most fundamental beliefs and messages about ourselves from our Father in heaven, who, if we look at him, we will learn new things and our life will change dramatically. This is what it's supposed to look like. We're supposed to see, what, God, do you say about me? You made me, you created me, what's the truth? And when we hear from God, what happens is he tells us that we are loved. He gives us signals that are unbelievable. He shows us our value. He does the opposite of everything we've shown and more. And in that, our feeling changes. We believe, when we listen to what God says about us, that we are loved. We are forgiven, we are accepted, we are nurtured, we are cherished, we belong, and we're secure. Life's signals don't lead you there. What God says does. It will make you secure. It will make you feel love. It will make you feel peace. And then what happens is, as a result of listening to God's message about you, a new experience happens. New behaviors, new attitudes. Peace, love, joy, honesty, gentleness, openness, vulnerability. Vulnerability is the ability to talk about your weakness with a sense of ease, because you have learned that your weaknesses don't define you. When you learn your weaknesses don't define you, then you can look at them and say, oh, this is my problem. Would you help me with this? It's not who I am, it's a weakness. Here, let me show you my weakness. Protect me, help me, I need some help. It's not who I am, but I'm weak, I need some help. When you believe what God says about you, you feel secure enough to talk about your weaknesses. Receiving, giving, trusting, trusting God, trusting people, giving things to people. The Bible says it's better to give than to receive. If you feel your whole life's messages have taken from you, it's very, very difficult to give. But when you do what God says, because he's given so much to you, you start to give and you actually get to experience the joy that the Bible teaches it's better to give than to receive. And you start to give and you experience life the way God intended it. Giving, trusting, sound mind, strength, and wisdom. The beginning of life. The beginning of the kind of life that you can have now is not just to place your faith in the Father for the eternity of your soul, which is critical and fundamental, and it's a starting point, but it's to then listen to him, believe what he says about you is true, and not just one day go to heaven, but let the voice of heaven affect you now and bring some heaven to earth. Joy, peace, kindness, goodness, vulnerability, giving, receiving, trusting. These are the truths that you're supposed to have. This is what God wants to tell you. Now, I'm going to just kind of bring us home with the option that every one of us is given today in terms of life's messages and receiving from our Father as opposed to receiving from whatever you've experienced until you came here today. In Matthew, Jesus is doing miracles. In Matthew 11, he's doing great miracles, and there are some towns that he goes to who don't believe in him after he does big, bold miracles. They see it, and they still don't believe him. And he honestly says about those towns in the last part of Matthew, he says, Matthew 11, he says that it's going to be better for Sodom and Gomorrah than it is for those towns, because Sodom and Gomorrah is an Old Testament, you know, it's the story of no righteous person, no good person being there, and them basically being destroyed because of their wickedness. And Jesus says it's going to be worse for people that saw God in the flesh do miraculous things and still reject it. Essentially, like, the picture is Jesus walking on water, turning, you know, water into wine, feeding 5,000, raising people from the dead, healing people, and the people seeing that truth. Those are life's signals. Those are God's signals to you and me. I bring life. I bring joy. I bring peace. I bring healing. And to not believe that is to go, you are in trouble. You're going to live this broken, broken life. You're going to have a wall. You are going to just smash into that wall every single day. Those truths, what you don't believe about God, is going to stop you. It's going to burden you. Then he goes on to say that the truth about God, that the real truth, the real signals from the Father, those things God has chosen to entrust to little children, because it takes a childlike faith of a mind that is willing to learn something new and take God at his word. So what happens is he says new information goes to the people who are willing to learn new information, and they will gain wisdom that the old people who see the miracle will never get because they choose to reject God. Then Jesus, he says one of the most profound, memorable statements. You may have heard this if you grew up in church. You've heard this a bunch of times, but maybe today you'll see it for the first time, that what God is saying is you don't have to have these walls. You don't have to have this burden. You don't have to have this weight. You don't have to live with those lies. You don't have to sing to those signals. You don't have to walk with that weary way of living. You don't have to do it. You can take on a new way. You can go through a new door. You can walk down a new path. You can experience real life. And he says it this way. Read this with me for the first time, like it's your first time today, that Jesus is offering you a different signal that can affect everything about you, from what you feel to how you live your life. Jesus says this to anyone who will listen. He says these words, "Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened." You are weary. You were given lies. You have believed those lies, and you are bringing burden into the world. Your beliefs about yourself are from the devil. They're not true, and they've affected how you feel, and they are seeping out into your relationships. He's basically saying every person that has walked through life with the lies that happened to all of us, come to me. That's a wall. That's going to stop you. That's a burden. That's heavy. That is death. And he says, if you come to me, I will be different. I will give you rest. I'll give you rest. What this means is when you live with the burden of the lies, you wake up every day feeling like you're behind. You wake up every day believing that you've got to get on the treadmill, that you've got to exist to make yourself valuable. And what happens is over time, you get tired. And it's a burden to try to deflect the lies that you've heard your whole life and try to believe and make yourself wonderful, because no matter what you do, you lose and you fall down. And then because of the signals, you go, of course I fell down. I'm a loser. And Jesus says, come to me. I'll take you off that path. You won't have to do that anymore. You'll be able to put your feet up. You'll be able to rest. You'll be able to go on vacation. You'll be able to Sabbath. You'll be able to enjoy. You'll be able to rest. You'll be able to take a spiritual nap. You'll be able to enjoy life. Don't go that way anymore. Come to me. And then he says this. He says, take my yoke upon you. And what he's talking about is a yoke is a piece of wood that wraps around two ox, and they pull the till as they're farming. And sometimes that yoke is already hard work, right? We already have to walk through life. We already have to till the ground. And if the yoke is heavy, then it makes what's hard even more difficult. Who is sick of how hard life is and how it's so much harder because of the lies you've believed? Jesus is saying, you have this life. You got to get up every day and make it work anyway. And on top of that, you have this extra burden, this weight, this lie that makes everything different. My yoke is not that way. Take mine. Take mine. It will change you. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me. He says, you need to come to me, and then you need to start to learn the new signals. Start to get the information about what I say about you. Start to believe what God says. Get your signals from your Father, and you will feel different, and you will behave differently. And then he says this, and this is just fascinating. It's beautiful. This is everything any person ever needs to hear in this life. And at first, it just becomes this beautiful picture. And then it starts to seep in every single day. It's when you put on your socks. It's when you talk on the phone. It's when you write an email. It's when you go to the bathroom. This becomes your life. Jesus says, take my yoke upon you. And you will experience this new rest. And I am humble and I am gentle in my heart. When Jesus says he is humble, he's saying, I am supplying to you the freedom and the lightweight burden of knowing your Heavenly Father from a humble position. I have showed you that I love you. Jesus came to this earth. He's God in the flesh. He's 100% man, 100% God. And when he was on this earth, he came to be the Savior of the world and to forgive us of our sins. When he went on the cross, he says, as he's beaten, as he's bruised, as he's ridiculed, as he's spat upon, as he's whipped, with his arms spread out, nailed to a cross, he says, it doesn't get more humble than this. This is how much I love you. This is how much I care for you. Take this burden upon you, the burden that says the guy, the God, the person who made heaven and earth, who thought of you and breathed you into existence, is willing to come and die for you because you are so valuable. That's humble. That's a king emptying himself to show you how valuable you are. Take my yoke upon you. It says I love you. It says I die for you. I am humble. I am gentle. And what you will find is rest for your souls. We are living in this world where our souls have holes in them. They're blown out. We're just experiencing life is seeping out of them like a water balloon that's about to burst. We are living that way. And God says, I can patch that up and I can keep you full. And that's what I exist to do. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Who is sick and tired of believing life's lies? I mean, just tell me right now, like if you're in here today and you've exhibited these behaviors and you've identified some signals that have taught you lies, like can you just show me with like a show of hands that like you're tired of believing those things? Just raise your hand if you can say, I'm tired of that. And like, if that's you, would you just stand up right now? Look, everybody in here, stand up. If you just do it, someone stand up. Like you stand up because what you're saying is, I've received lies. I've believed this crap that's not true about me. It's ruining my relationships. It's ruining the way I view the world. It's ruining my behavior and you're tired of it. Can you just clap if you're tired of it? Like just tired of it. It's a lie. And what God says, God doesn't say, you have to get this. God doesn't say he will fix your circumstances. Stop praying for that. It's not the core of your problem. God says he will fix us. God says he will give us new information about who we are, and then who we are will change and our behaviors will change. Pray to see yourself the way God sees you. Here's the truth. Jesus can take the lies you believe that have become walls that you smack your head against, that ruin relationships and ruin you, and he can flatten them out and make them into walkways. He just takes the information, he makes it new, and instead of you going through life smacking your head against the wall, you get to walk in freedom. Who's ready to walk in freedom? The truth. Oh, the truth about you. The truth about you is so beautiful. It's so wonderful. It's a highway, man. It is freedom. It is life. It is I love you for who you are, and you need to dismantle those lies and start to go to a new door. Start to go to a new resource. We are living in a society that has heard the message of Jesus and is choosing that it doesn't matter. When you go to the well, when you go to the door, when you believe in the truth, it changes you. That's the proof. Please, this message is to get you to turn away from lies and start to look for who you are from a different resource. And when you truly believe those things, your attitude, your life, everything will change. I want to pray for you guys. Let me pray. God, I just pray that everybody in here, that everybody watching online, everybody all over the world, everybody in this room right now, that they would see that a relationship with Jesus is life, that it is rest, that it is lighter, that it is better, that it will give us freedom, that you turn our walls and lies into walkways and life. You do that. Help us to look to you. Help us to turn to you. Help us to look to Jesus. You said, come to me. Come to me. Help us to stop believing the lies and go to Jesus to learn who we are and to have that change everything about us. Father, you are so good to us. You are humble. You are gentle. You are life. We get you. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. 10,000 times, we thank you for giving us freedom and rest. We love you. We worship you today because we've seen a piece of you that's new, that's fresh, that's better, that is better than anything that's outside these doors, that's better than anything we read on our phone, that's better than any experience. It's you. You are love. You are good. You are light. You are salvation. You are redemption. You are freedom. You are forgiveness. You are security. You, God, are worth our time. We love you. Thank you. thank you. In your name, amen.